Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to the Iron Brew Podcast. Brad Mell, Matt Blanchard and Matt Ellis. So two games we'll have a look at on this one. A little bit of Carlisle and then Port Vale from the weekend. Now, obviously, if you remember on the last one, we just played Exeter, lost 4-0. We wanted a bit of a response. I suppose to some extent you get that with Carlisle. We've talked a lot this season about how goals are a problem for this team and, you know, we get two there. But the manner of the way that we folded, really, you know, in the last 10 minutes, it's definitely something to discuss. Matt, you saw the Carlisle game. So a pretty decent start, really. You get a goal about 3 minutes in, don't we? And it's Jarvis. And I think maybe let's frame the discussion around Jarvis, because we know from last season, well, he hardly featured, didn't know a lot about him. This season, obviously, we know he's still struggled with injuries and COVID and etc. But he's been pretty good this season, I think.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. I think he's probably been one of the most promising parts of the season, really, so far since he's come back into the side. Obviously, not had much pre-season, but I think he's done really well when he's come in. I think he's won quite a lot in the air, holding the ball up pretty well. Still don't think he's getting as much help as he probably needs up there. But yeah, it was good for him to get a goal, because I think actually from the last few games he's probably deserved one for his work rate, and you know he's done well. So yeah, it was nice to see him score, and obviously I think he's had issues off the pitch with COVID and things like that, and you know it sounds like he's had it pretty tough. So yeah, good to see him back playing, and I know there were kind of question marks over him last season, but yeah, for me, I mean you can't really criticise. The work he's kind of putting in. I think he's putting a shift in, and the one question mark is whether he's going to score many goals. I think that's the big thing, whether he's kind of the man that's going to get you sort of 10 goals like Loft did last year to potentially, you know, we're going to need someone like that, aren't we, if we're going to stay up this season. And yeah, there's question marks whether he's the man, but yeah, I think the shift he's put in and you know he's worked hard. I think he's deserved the goal, and as I say, he's been one of the kind of better players, I would say, in the last few games.
Well, I think you see that at the Port Vale game as well, don't you? I mean, certainly first half, a lot of the play descended into sort of long balls forward, didn't it? But he was holding a lot of them up, as you say, and you know he was doing flicks on. He was winning a lot of possession. I think we're just seeing at the minute that he definitely needs somebody with him. And I do like Scrimshaw. I do think he's good. But we weren't getting that at Port Vale, were we?
No, I think with Scrimshaw, again, you can't really fault his work rate. I think he's, you know, he puts a shift in. He does a hell of a lot of running, closing down and things like that. Just a shame he's probably not got a little bit more pace, because I think at times that's maybe something that lets him down a little bit. You know, obviously can't help it, but you know, there were a couple of occasions yesterday when if he had an extra yard of pace, who knows, you know, he might have got there in front of the defender and been able to create something. But again, I mean, as a partnership, I don't think we're really seeing the best of them. I don't know if they're going to be the partnership long term moving forward. I think obviously Loft's coming back in, and I think that'll be a big plus, because I think we do need someone else up there, someone else that can kind of take a bit of pressure off those two a little bit. As we've said previously, I don't think O'Neill holds up to the standard, unfortunately, at this moment in time. And will he ever be? I don't know. I don't think so, from what I've seen so far. So, yeah, he's kind of down to those three. And I think you're right with Scrimshaw. I think he's shown some good bits. But again, they're not quite working for me as a partnership. I think when Jarvis is winning a lot of the balls, there's not that, you know, they're not that close to each other, or it's not quite coming off. Scrimshaw's not making that the right run, or, you know, he's not running to where Jarvis has flicked it onto. And I think it's not great, is it? I think they're working really hard, but it's just not quite happening at the moment. And, you know, it remains to be seen whether they can kind of hit it off as a two, or, you know, probably Loft as soon as he's fit and ready and can see out of his mask. I think he'll be back in.
let's just turn back to the Carlisle game then. So the second goal was obviously from Manny, and he was suspended, wasn't he, the game before? He got that red card. He comes back in. I think we're a lot better with him in the team, aren't we? And I know Port Vale, he had a chance as well, which really close to going in, cleared off the line. Good for him to get that goal as well.
Yeah, no, it's good. And I think he does have quite a few of those chances from sort of set plays. And to be fair, we don't do enough, do we, really, from kind of corners, free kicks, in and around the box. I think the delivery at times, considering, you know, O'Malley, you know, every now and again puts a decent ball in, but I think we don't really make the most of those situations. We've got some really big lads in there, and it frustrates me really, because you see other teams, you know, every week seem to have someone who can take a good dead ball or, you know, put a good cross in. I think Worrell yesterday for Port Vale put some great balls in, and you know, we're lacking in that area a little bit, I think. And you know, it was a good ball in from O'Malley on at Carlisle, and yeah, good finish from Manny, obviously unmarked, and you'd expect him to score from there. But it's nice to see one of those go in, and you know, we do need to do better from those, because at the end of the day, we don't really look like scoring from open play. So we've got to do more, you know, in the box. We've got to be better in the box from kind of set plays, things like that, and that's something we've really got to work on. But I think it is, you know, I'd say eight, nine times out of 10, it is due to poor delivery and kind of not beating the first man, which is a shame, because, you know, that should be straightforward for a professional footballer. But we've said it many times in the past couple of years that it's just not the case. And yeah, I think it's something for him to work on, definitely, because we've got to improve in that area.
So for 75, 80 minutes of that Carlisle game, you know, we were winning 2-0. Now, I was listening to it on the radio. It sounded, by all accounts, that first half especially, but for up until we, you know, conceded that first goal, that really, you know, we were looking quite good and we were controlling it. Was that the case, Matt?
Yeah, I thought so. I think it's probably the best we've played for a while. Not creating sort of loads and loads of chances. I think Jarvis had another one where he's just kind of chipped it and it's hit the roof of the net. Good effort. I think he did well, really, with it. Just a shame it didn't kind of fall under the bar. But yeah, I think you're right. Unfortunately, I think second half, again, maybe a few questionable subs. I think obviously the manager came out and said there were a few injuries and dead legs, things like that. But again, I think that kind of killed us off a little bit. And unfortunately, you know, Beeston makes a mistake for the first one, which is unlike him. I think obviously he came out and apologised after the game. I don't think he needed to. I think he's been good for us, and he's won us enough points sort of last season. You know, without his goals, I think you could probably say that we'd have gone down. So yeah, I don't think there's anything to apologise for. But I think it was frustrating, because he could have just got rid of that. And I don't know what he was trying to do. And unfortunately, they've managed to squeeze it in. And then after that, I suppose it's back against the wall, because although Carlisle didn't really offer much for the majority of the game, I think when that went in, you could probably see what was going to come. I think it was, you know, the clock was ticking down, but I think even then, you knew they were always going to get another chance. And unfortunately, they get the equaliser. And I think it's probably knocked the stuffing out of us a little bit, because we played fairly well. You know, we look comfortable in possession, and you know, it was a decent performance. So for that goal so late, you know, it did really feel like a loss. And you know, I think it's one of those. I think if we'd have won that game, who knows? We may have got a little platform to kick on. And I think the manner that we've kind of conceded late on has just not done any favours for us, really. And sure, it's probably been a tough week for them, really, to bounce back from that, because, you know, it looked like 3 points in the bag, and it would have been a good away win as well, because obviously, you know, historically, it's a tough place to go for us, I think. So, yeah, shame.
Yeah, it's massively disappointing, and I think it's kind of a Scunthorpe United trait, isn't it, to kind of, you know, throw the game away in the last few minutes. We've kind of done it many a season, and unfortunately we're still doing it. So it's disappointing to see. But as you said, Matt, I think, you know, we obviously played well for most of the game, and it was relatively positive to go all the way to Carlisle and you know, put a decent show in. It's just a real, you know, real kind of disappointment that they couldn't get 3 points. But and as you said, I think it probably has affected the team, really, because the performance against Port Vale wasn't the best, was it? So you know, it's not looking good at the moment.
Well, just picking up on what you say there then, do you think the result at Carlisle, that yes, we got a point, yes, it was a draw, but really it did feel like a defeat. Do you think psychologically the players haven't quite shaken that off, and that's why, I don't know, the Port Vale performance, it, in many ways, it felt quite flat?
Well, I think that there must be some kind of, you know, a little bit of worry in the squad, really, because I think we've won two games in 27. So, you know, coming so close to winning a game away at Carlisle after putting in a good performance, it's always going to kind of hit you pretty hard, isn't it? Because, you know, we've barely won in the past couple of years. You know, we just don't seem to know how to do it, unfortunately. And coming so close and then sort of throwing it away in the last minute is obviously going to have an effect on the players. So it's, you know, it's massively disappointing. But at the same time, I think if we had won the game against Carlisle, we obviously... we would have moved up the table a little bit, and then you'd like to think that the kind of the players and the team would, you know, that the mindset would be a little bit better going into the game against Port Vale, because something wasn't quite right.
Well, let's look at Port Vale then in a bit of detail, because, you know, as we said, it was disappointing, but also it was, I don't know, it just felt like almost like an inevitability about it, really. And I think we spoke about it at half time, didn't we, Matt? You know, the atmosphere around the place was, it was quite strange yesterday, wasn't it? I mean, you know, we conceded shortly before half time. There'd not been an awful lot in the game, really, at that point. You know, we'd done okay. There was nothing special. I just thought they looked quite good, actually. You can see why they're up the top end of the table. And they had some nice play, actually, I thought, throughout the game. But first half, I don't think there was a lot in it. But then just at half time, it was just flat, wasn't it? There was just no reaction to anything, like no clapping, no booing, nothing like that. It just sort of stopped.
Yeah, I think you're right with that. It was a bit odd, I thought, yesterday. Obviously, the first thing that kind of strikes you when you walk in, there's less and less people every week, sort of on the terrace especially. You know, I don't know, you just remember back and when the club put things out, you know, games in the past, you're looking, even in when we was in Division 3, sort of in the early 2000s, that terrace was still full, you know, loads of people behind the goal, and you just don't see that anymore. And it's just less and less every week. And you're kind of looking around. I know Port Vale brought a decent following, probably about 500 yesterday, but you're looking around at the home stands, and I don't know, I think there were probably less than 2,000 home fans, and I think it's going to kind of get less and less as we kind of progress, because, you know, things on the pitch aren't looking good, and I think fans are kind of voting with their feet now. About things that are happening off the pitch, or, you know, lack of things happening off the pitch. And it's sad to see, you know, it's just terrible, really. I think it's just disappointing that, you know, we spoke about it last season and how bad we were, sort of thing. And obviously there was a little bit of optimism after the Tranmere game this season. I thought, you know, there were signs there that potentially, you know, we may be okay, but I think last few games, I don't know. I just think, I don't really know what to say anymore about the situation. I just think we're kind of heading one way. And I think you're right about the inevitability. I think as soon as Port Vale scored, it was kind of game over, wasn't it? And it was just, yeah, it was flat. I think I know there was, you know, a bit of singing from the terrace, but other than that, you know, I think it was just weird atmosphere. And I think it's going to get worse as we go through. You know, I think Port Vale, as you say, looked a decent side. I thought they moved the ball quite well at times. And I know Cox kind of came out after the game, said there wasn't much between the two sides, but I always felt that they were kind of keeping us at arm's length, really. I don't think we really tested their keeper. I know Beeston had the one effort. But other than that, you know, it was a fairly comfortable afternoon for Port Vale, really. And I think if they had to up it, I think they could have done and could have put us away, you know, by a couple more goals, to be fair, which is worrying. You know, I know they're a decent side and they've got some good players, but again, I think the Tranmere game, we saw quite a lot of shots on target, and, you know, we looked quite good in spells, and we just seem to have gone backwards since that. And I think there's various factors for it. It's just worrying. And I think, you know, all the kind of bookies, I think we're now favourites to finish bottom and finish, well, to go down. And at the moment, I don't think you can argue against it.
Well, Well, I think we'll do a lot of the off-field stuff shortly, I think, after the game, because we've had a lot of questions in and comments in about that sort of stuff, as you can imagine. Let's just turn to the game. I think you're right, Port Vale. They looked like they could step it up if they wanted to. I think every time they got the ball back off us, and when they did go on a bit of a break, it looked like they were going to do something, you know, semi-dangerous. Like there was a moment, wasn't it? I think it was actually on the highlights, so you can see it if you want to have a look at it. It's just simple passes, just like straight through the defence, you know, out to wide, get the shot in. Watts makes a decent enough save. But it's sort of a precursor to the goal, really, isn't it? Just in the sense that we're not closing them down. You know, we're not getting to them. I mean, look at the goal that we do concede, you know, right before half-time. Little header. The player does about, what, four or five little sort of touches, like keep you up type touches, sends it straight over the top, and then it's in under Watson. It's just, I don't know. I mean, like, we've got to be doing a lot better than that.
Yeah, it's not great, is it? And it's not just that when he's in the box, it's just the entire kind of build-up play. No Scunthorpe United player seems to be interested in like really closing the ball down at all. There's just a few kind of half-hearted jogs towards the direction of which the ball is travelling, and then the guy gets in the box and that's it. We're one down, aren't we? So it's just abysmal. Like the entire team can be pretty, you know, embarrassed about that goal, to be quite honest, because it's not just one player. It's nobody's interested in putting any pressure on the ball whatsoever. They're just sort of going through the motions and kind of they don't look like they really care, to be quite honest, in that instance. And it's kind of obviously not great, is it? Because, you know, without that, it's a point, isn't it? So yeah,
I think that's in that instance. I think I would agree with that. I would probably bring up, I would question the sort of fact that they don't care, in the sense that I think generally they do. I just think not a lot of it's that they're not up to it, or, you know, they're facing teams that we're not up to beating.
Yeah, I agree with that. I mean, I would say that, you know, over the past few seasons, we've had players and teams that quite clearly couldn't care less about the results. And I don't think that is this team. I think that, you know, one thing that Cox has done is kind of put a little bit of pride back into the players, the way they play and things like that. And I think you are right there, Brad. But just in this instance, it was just, I'm not really sure what on earth was happening, because nobody seemed to want to close the ball down. And there was at least three or four players who had kind of good opportunity to do that. And it was abysmal, really.
Yeah. I mean, I think you see the difference, really. If we just turn back to Carlisle for a second, you know, when they got that goal at 80 minutes, it, as Matt says, it is back to the walls, isn't it? And then they're rewarded for that right at the end with, you know, their equaliser. Look at us, you know, yesterday, towards the end, we were in their box for sure. You know, we were up at that end of the pitch. We're not really doing anything. We didn't look like scoring at all.
No, I think the one was beasting. I think it was a good effort. Obviously, keeper made a good save. But yeah, no, nothing really. And I think we were kind of chasing the game. Port Vale were sort of winning most things, you know, crosses into the box, things like that. They were seemed to have the upper hand there. And I think that obviously, once Jarvis had gone off and you've got Hallam and Scrimshaw, you know, two little guys really against two big centre-halves, you've got to kind of change approach a little bit. And you know, all we were trying to do was either lump it forward or whip it in. And unfortunately, there was just no one in the box that was going to win a header. I thought that was a bit strange. I know apparently Jarvis had a dead leg, but you know, even sort of the reluctance to throw one of the defenders up. I know we'd use the subs. I think eventually put Manny up there just for a couple of minutes. But you know, we were getting the balls into the box, and we could have done with someone, just Manny or Taft, anyone, just to cause a bit of a nuisance, really. You know, we've seen other teams do it when they've come to us trying to get a goal and it's worked. And, you know, it's not guaranteed to work, but it would have helped a little bit of height in there just to kind of put them under a little bit of pressure. But yeah, I think you're right. Obviously, Manny had the one that was sort of cleared off the line. But other than that, nothing really from open play. Again, which is disappointing. I think they were comfortable. And they sort out really well. I know there was sort of a little bit of time wasting from their keeper as well, which managed to run the clock down really well, which, you know, you don't like to see it, but I think we could get better at times, you know, managing games. I think at Carlisle, you know, it'd be nice to see one of ours do something like that. So it's just those kind of situations. We're just not quite there. But I think you're right. Overall, I just think some of them aren't up to it, really. Unfortunately, I think you know, there's quite a lot of effort there. But yeah, some of them just not really up to this level. And one I was, again, really disappointed with was Milland. I thought there were a few more promising signs at Carlisle. I thought he had a lot better game, but I thought he had a shocker again yesterday. Not sure. He was kind of caught out of position a lot. Just kind of, yeah, just didn't know where to be. Beaten for pace quite a few times. And at the moment, I mean, it's not looking like a great signing. I think I'd rather have either Rowe or Pugh back there, to be honest. And I think once you've taken Pugh out the side, whether he's at right back or midfield, you lose a bit of that aggression, you lose a bit of that kind of, I don't know, you lose a bit of bite in there. And I think that we were missing that yesterday. I think they had the control of the midfield, definitely, particularly with Beeston out on the left. I just don't understand that at all. You know, when he's our best midfield player and he's playing on the left, so he can kind of accommodate Wood and Perry. Don't really get it. So yeah, I think the manager and the management have got to look at it, because I think they've been getting it wrong for a while. And yeah, it's just not good enough.
Well, one thing we'd mentioned, I think on the last one, wasn't it? Mason O'Malley, you know, he was absent for a long time. He's back in the last couple of games, and you were talking about balls in the box. He was another one, I think, wasn't he? He was getting some in, but as you say, there's nobody there to meet him. But how do you think he's done on his return?
Yeah, I mean, I think he got his assist against Carlisle, which was nice for him coming back into the side. And he's done okay. I think actually, down the left-hand side, we're not too bad. I think most of sort of the chances for the opposition seem to come down that right-hand side. Yesterday, you know, they seem to be going down that way quite a lot. Obviously, Hippolyte was down there, and Milan, I think, were poor really down that side all day. I think you know, O'Malley not really done a lot wrong. I think he's done okay, and it'd be interesting when Thompson, obviously I think he had a dead leg, didn't he? So you know, when he's fully fit, it'd be interesting to see who he goes with, whether it is O'Malley or whether it is Thompson, because you know, he was favouring Thompson for a little while. And you know, I don't think he'd done a lot wrong either, to be honest. I think he's had some decent games, a couple not so good, but he's not been that bad. So yeah, it'd be interesting to see what he does there. But I think yeah, it's one that the fans are kind of gonna question a little bit, because obviously O'Malley had a decent season last season. And yeah, I mean, it's nice to see him back in, because I think he probably you know, he's probably about time. We know he's, every now and again he can put a good ball in. I think last season we saw at times where we utilised that, Loft getting on the end of a couple and scoring a few goals. And I think, you know, that's probably our best chance of scoring at the moment. So I can see why he's back in. But yeah, moving forward, who knows? He was favouring Thompson, so it'll be interesting to see if he brings him back in.
I think at this point of the season, you know, we're getting a bit of an idea about, you know, what players can do, you know, do what, what our best sort of lineup is in some regards. Another one, obviously, yesterday is that Davis doesn't play because, you know, he had that head injury, didn't he? And he has had to have the stitches in it. What do you think about that? Did you think we missed him against Port Vale? Do you think, you know, that was something that contributed to the defeat?
Yeah, I mean, with Davis, obviously he's experienced, and I think you know, a few weeks ago now I was saying that he's been quite good. You know, he surprised me actually, because I wasn't expecting too much from him, and he's had quite a few good games, but ever since that comment he's been really poor. I know, obviously, granted, the game when he went down with a head injury, I think he was actually concussed after that, so you know, he did well to carry on for a part in that game. But yeah, he's not been great recently. I think you go back to the game, Northampton game, I think he was all over the place. And yeah, I don't know. I think it'll be interesting to see when he's back fully fit, whether he's in there as kind of a five again, and they go with the two wing-backs. It was looking okay when he was playing that previously. But again, I'm not really sure what formation he's kind of playing at the moment. I know yesterday he said it was 4-4-2, but, you know, with Beeston on the left, he's not an out-and-out winger. And again, with Hippolyte likes to drift in. He's not a winger as such, is he? I think he's, you know, he's not going to bomb down and get many crosses in, and Beeston isn't, that's not his game, you know, and it's okay saying 4-4-2, but I think in reality it wasn't. And, you know, I think it's difficult because you look at the bench, we all agreed that Green probably needed a rest, wasn't really doing it. I thought when he came on yesterday, he was okay, but I don't know. I don't know if he's kind of up to it. I think he's had enough chances and, you know, he could have scored a few goals already this season and hasn't quite kind of done it for me. So, yeah, it's, I don't know. I don't know kind of where we go really with it. I think he'll want to get Davies back in, given he's a captain and he's kind of, you know, one of his own players, I guess, that he's brought in. But again, I don't think he's going to sacrifice Manny, because I think we defend better when Manny's on the pitch and Taft's doing okay as well. So, yeah, it's big decisions, really. And I think he's probably going to favour the five at the back again.
Well, as we're talking about formations and players and things like that, I'll maybe turn to a couple of the comments. Now, as you can imagine, after a game, especially after defeat, you know, we get sent loads of stuff. It, you know, a lot of the time it's like, I don't know, just people sort of saying how crap it was, that sort of stuff. Interestingly, today for this one, a lot of the stuff seems to be like just bypassing that side of it completely and just and focusing in on players and formations and, you know, what's going on. And Matt, you've alluded to it already in the sense that it does feel like we're trying to accommodate players in this team, certainly in midfield. People saying in that basically, essentially, you know, why is our midfield pairing not Pugh and Beeston? And it seems that that is the obvious one. In linking to that, a lot of people are bringing up Perry. So one here, you know, he's saying he's too lightweight. Another one from Michael, why have Perry on if you're bypassing him? So, you know, that sort of stuff. Do you feel like we are accommodating players? Because I feel like we are. Like you say, with Beeston out on the left yesterday, it does feel like that.
I think he got a bit of stick, didn't he, when Beeston was dropped. I think we were rightly asking the question why he's not on the pitch, because I think, you know, he in central midfield, he does a lot of work, he gets his foot in, he wins tackles, and, you know, he offers that goal threat as well. I think, you know, he obviously could have scored yesterday, and he scored quite a few last season, which we've already spoken about, you know, as well. So I think you look at it and you think, why is he on the left? Well, he's probably trying to accommodate Wood. Wood, I don't think he's done a great deal wrong. I think he looked quite good at his debut, on his debut at Northampton, sprayed the ball about quite well. But I don't think it's enough to be keeping Pugh out the side, who I thought has been brilliant earlier on in the season. And then with Perry, you know, I think he looks tidy in possession at times. I think he's, you know, he keeps the ball fairly well. But again, he's a bit of a luxury in this side. I think if you're at the top of the league and playing well and playing really attractive football, I think he could look quite good and I think he'd be a decent asset. But unfortunately, in this side, you know, we need players to do the dirty work. He's not a tackler. He's never going to be a tackler. And sadly, I just don't think that midfield works. I think we've seen it a few times where I think Exeter completely dominated the midfield. I think you look at yesterday, I think they completely dominated the midfield. And yeah, for me, it's just not working with those two, with Perry and Ward. And I think, I know we keep banging on about Pugh, but he must be looking at it thinking, what have I got to do? Because, you know, he was winning tackles, he was aggressive, he was actually creating chances and getting forward and trying to make things happen. And I don't really think the others are kind of warranted a place ahead of him, from what I've seen, and it's disappointing for him really. And I'm sure he'll be asking questions, you know, what have I got to do to get back in, because he was one of our better players and he's just kind of dropped off. I know he's been on the bench, but he's not even getting a chance off the bench. So yeah, it's a very odd one. And I think you're right. I think he's accommodating players, trying to kind of maybe justify the loan deals. I know Hackney's not featuring the last couple. Obviously came on yesterday. I thought he held the ball up, travelled with the ball okay. And I think he was trying to make things happen. But, you know, I think wasn't the best. He wasn't brilliant. But yeah, it just seems there's players out of position again, and sadly, when you're playing your best players out of position, it's not going to end well. And I just think play your best players in the best positions, and we might start picking up some points. I just don't think it's working as it is at the moment.
Well, another comment just sort of, I guess, echoes that. And actually, if you listen to Neil Cox's interview afterwards, he did mention Jem last time, didn't he, last season? But we were talking about last year how we had no experience there. When Karajan came in, it sort of helped us out. One from Johnny here: experience wins a midfield battle for me. We've got young boys trying to compete, and they are trying, to be fair to them, but there's nobody there to learn from, thrown in at the deep end and struggling big time. Do you think that's a fair assessment of what's going on?
Yes, it is. But I think one of the bigger problems at the moment is that we've got so many midfielders, Cox doesn't know what to do with them. And I think that's one of the issues. And I think that, you know, obviously you kind of seeing players played out of position. Beeston sort of like on the wing, which is really not what he does, is it? But at the same time, I think, as we said, I think he's trying to rest Green a little bit. And with no real other quality there, he's got to play him. But at the same time, you know, as you said, Matt, where is Pugh? And he's kind of been one of the bright sparks of the season so far, which is good to see, because he's obviously come through the setup here at the club. But I think that, you know, yes, that there is that kind of sort of, you know, serious lack of experience in the centre of midfield. I think Beeston provides it in a certain respect, but he's not inexperienced, but he's not kind of that experienced head like obviously Karakhan was last season. But I think that I honestly think that they thought Kenyon would be that. And obviously he's out injured, so he can't be that at the moment. And, you know, to be quite honest, what we saw of Kenyon so far, he didn't look very good. He's not really been given a fair crack, has he? And obviously he's injured, so it's difficult to see. So we're not going to know that. So I think that, you know, it's a combination of that kind of injury situation, and the kind of we are overloaded in midfield, and yes, we are overloaded with inexperience, which makes it difficult for the manager to kind of decide what he's going to do. But obviously it's a problem of his own making, because he signed these players, hasn't he? So
yeah, I mean, I personally this Kenyon situation, I don't think we'll ever see him, to be honest. I just think, obviously, it sounds like there's a setback with his injury. I think it sounds like it's a bit more serious than they first thought. You know, they were saying he'll be back in a couple of weeks, and now it sounds sort of a long-term one. I just don't think we'll see him. And, you know, from what we saw earlier on in the season, I think you're right, Matt. I don't think we're really missing much there. I know he's experienced, and potentially, you know, that is good, and you do need some experience, but you also need someone that's quite mobile in there in the middle, and he wasn't. He was... For me, he looked overweight and just really struggling to get around the pitch. And yeah, I don't think he would make any difference whatsoever, to be honest, sadly. But yeah, I think you're right. I think he's signed sort of too many central midfielders. We questioned it at the time. Obviously, on deadline day, brings in another couple. I know Hackney obviously can play a bit further forward. But yeah, you're kind of overloaded. And I think we mentioned it last time. This is kind of where players start to get pissed off, because they're not playing, or they're out the side or playing out of position to accommodate others. And again, I think there were other areas that probably needed strengthening ahead of that central midfield. But yeah, I don't know. At the end of the day, it's probably going to come to a head, because, you know, you look at the fixtures, October looks a really difficult month on paper. And I just don't know. I mean, the thing is, last season we obviously stuck with Cox through to the end, and okay, you know, he kept us up. but you know, that run at the end of the season was an absolute shocker. And I don't know how long do you give it, really, if we are struggling. I know he's missing Loft, and I know Loft's going to be a big player, hopefully when we can get him back. But again, I don't know if Loft is the one that's going to make all the difference, and he's going to make enough difference to kind of get us moving up the table. And you look at it, and you look at October, and some of the fixtures we've got coming, obviously tough trip. I think Barrow on a Tuesday, you've got Forest Green coming up, who, you know, last few seasons have battered us.
Newport as well.
Yeah, Newport, you know, all solid sort of League Two sides. And you know, if we lose a couple more of those, we're in big trouble. I think we're already in big trouble, let's be honest. I think were already in that bottom two. And, you know, it's very difficult to see a way out at the minute. And, you know, I think there's... Is anyone bothered? That's the worrying thing for me. Is Swan bothered? You know, he doesn't turn up to games anymore. We rarely hear from him anymore. Sort of gone missing, hasn't he, for the last few weeks. There's just nothing. I think something needs to give. I think we need an update. We need to know kind of what the plan is, really. Because last season, I know kind of COVID and things like this, it was very difficult, but we've not got those excuses this time. And Cox has managed to go out and sign supposedly his own players. Apart from a couple of, I know we had a decent-ish start, but you know the wheels are quickly falling off, and I think something has got to happen to stop that, because you know we saw last season how kind of you can get in a rut and you go on that run, and Matt's already mentioned sort of two wins in 27, something like that. You know that can't keep going forever, and something at some point is going to have to give, especially if we don't start picking up results sooner rather than later.
Well, as you said earlier, we've sort of already seen it, really. I mean, there is, every home game, there's less and less people on the terrace, and it's literally people are voting with their feet now, really, isn't it? Every time I get there, you know, on a Saturday, 10 minutes before kickoff, 5 minutes before kickoff, it's less each time. You look at the terrace, it's sparse now, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a bit worrying, isn't it? And I think that I know the kind of attendance was 2,500 yesterday against Port Vale. I think Port Vale brought a decent amount. I think they brought about 400-500 fans, which is obviously a half decent turnout. But you know, what are the real figures? And once we play like teams like maybe Newport and Forest Green at home, which we will do very soon, and they're bringing like 100 and 150, and the real figures for kind of the amount of Scunthorpe United fans turn up to games as well, you're going to be a lot closer to 2,000 than you think. So, you know, people really are voting with their feet at the moment, and it seems that the chairman is also voting with his feet, because he's had enough as well, and he's only been to one game this season, which is obviously a massive concern given that the fact that we seem to be sinking without a trace, not only on the pitch but behind the scenes as well.
So yeah, I think for one thing is, like, generally, to be fair, you don't expect a chairman to be there every single game, but you are right. There is a sort of noticeable absent presence at the minute.
Well, I don't know, you know. I mean, he's a self-confessed football man, isn't he? You know, surely you're the chairman of the football club. You know, you don't live that far away. You know, if you're really into it, you're going to go every game, aren't you? I mean, I know I would. And I know a lot of chairmen do go to every home game they can get to. And you know, Peter seems to be, his appearance have vanished in Nilly Finn at the moment, which is obviously very, really, really worrying. And I don't really know what else to say on that, to be honest.
Well, comment from York Iron here, actually, you mentioned about the fans leaving. I think we seriously have to question where the club is going. Can easily see us struggling to reach 1,500 mark in terms of home fans very soon.
Yeah. Well, exactly. That's where we're heading. That is where we're heading. And I know it's early in the season. We've only played 9 games. We are in the relegation zone, you know, and we're already looking a bit listless. And given what's happened in the past few seasons, where we've kind of scraped by on the skin of our teeth. And I think that, you know, my worry is that we sink without a trace, and the club, once it goes down that trap door, it doesn't come back. And it's as simple as that. And we've already spoken about, you know, the kind of budgets of teams in the conference.
Oh, there's big clubs down there.
Exactly. And look at Grimsby, you know, they've obviously given it a go. They're getting really, really big crowds at the moment, with obviously they've got a massive uplift from the new owners, and it seems to be working out with them, and they're getting like kind of, you know, really great cuisine at halftime and all that shit. I mean, I know it's relevant, but you know what I mean? Nachos with jalapenos, you know, what are we getting? I'm getting very, very concerned at not just the position of the club in the league, but just the general direction. And I know this has been concerned for a while, but it seems to be coming to a head at the moment a little bit. And fans now are really voting with their feet, and it's something else to note of as well. I think that because the terrace looks so sparse at the weekend, generally, you know, you kind of diehard fans in the terrace, don't you? And once that starts to thin out, you know, you're not in a good place, because these are the people who would come through thick and thin, and now they're thinking, you know, I've had enough of this. I can find something better to do on a Saturday that's not going to make me depressed. It's not going to make me wish I didn't support Scunthorpe United and they, you know, somewhere I can spend some money where I'm going to get some enjoyment out of it. Because at the end of the day, nobody's getting entertained on a Saturday at Glanford Park. Nobody's getting value for money on a Saturday at Glanford Park. And there are plenty of other places, you know, in North Lincolnshire that can supply those things for the money you spend. So that is the biggest problem at the moment.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. And I think that is the problem. I think there are fans that have been going 50, 60, you know, 30, 40 years, diehard fans that barely missed a match. I know a lot, you know, I know a lot of people that just have given up, to be honest. And it's so upsetting to see, you know, I think the situation with the stadium and the transfer of the ownership and things like that, I think that was the final nail for quite a lot. You know, I think there are a massive amount of fans that kind of are staying away because of that. They don't really accept, but it was the right thing to do, or I think it's a very valid point. And, you know, I think with Swan, I think you made some good points, Matt, about, you know, chairman and where they should be at games. I know not all club chairmen are at every game, and you probably wouldn't expect him to be, given he has other business interests and, you know, he's got his horses and things like that that are on a Saturday, which, you know, I can completely understand. But when we were kind of riding high at the top of League One, he was there every week, and you know, the family were there, and you know, his wife was there. And at the moment, I know she's actually been to a few games. I think she's been to more than he has this season. But, you know, the problem is we're in this situation. The fans have kind of already turned anyway. They're voting with their feet. We need some kind of leadership, and it needs to come from the top. And if he's not there, we've not heard from him, he's not at the games. You know, you're looking at it and you're thinking, well, you know, what the fuck's going on? Because I don't know. I just don't know. I just don't know where we're going from here. I don't know what the plan is. You know, he came on, spoke to us pre-season, said he's still committed, this and that. But yeah, I think his absence is massively worrying. I think, you know, maybe staying, he's going to start getting some stick from the terraces. We've already heard that a couple of games this season. You know, chants aimed at his direction. I don't think he'd be too bothered by that, to be honest. But maybe that's one of the reasons he's staying away, because obviously he's getting quite a lot of stick on social media and you know, the club's official channel's been kind of hit with abuse after most games. And maybe he just thought, you know, he's not going to turn up and kind of have that directed at him. But, you know, I don't know. I just think it's poor that he's not been there. I think, yeah, it's... When you're struggling and when you're in a bad situation, I think we need kind of some reassurance. And, you know, whether many people believe him and believe what he says, I don't know. I mean, I can't speak for all the fans, but I think from what you've kind of read online and social media, things like that, people have kind of just practically just kind of given up with the kind of the club and want a bit of a change. And it's obviously... easier said than done. I think it's going to be very difficult, and I think he mentions it every time we speak to him that no one's queuing up to kind of take the club on. And I can get that, I can understand that, but you know, you look at the club now, what would you be buying really if you bought the club? Is it just the name, you know, because that is essentially what all that's left. It is the name and that's it, and the rest
and the Football League status.
Yeah, exactly. But you know, that is hanging precariously, isn't it? That is in the balance. And yeah, I think we're in a shocking situation, to be honest. I think it's the worst it's been for a very long time. And you know, even you think back to when we was at the bottom of the table with Wharton, and obviously when he left for the brief spell and Lawsy was sacked, we were still getting a decent gate. You know, it was 3,500, maybe something like that, and there was still the support there. But I think sadly this feels a little bit different. Well, it feels a lot different, to be honest, than those days. And the worry, the long term, you know, this is the problem. It's the long term future of the club that's kind of I don't know. We were talking about it, Matt, and we were kind of saying, you know, it's not out of the realms of possibility that in a few years we're out of a club. You know, it could happen. Seeing it with other clubs in the past, obviously, getting into difficulty and things like that. And you know, we could be on that list. Obviously, we all hope that that doesn't happen. But yeah, something has to change soon. And we need some kind of leadership from Swan. And we need to know what's going on, because at the moment, it's just not good enough what's happening. And obviously, on the pitch isn't great, but we're not really getting any information off it. Seems to have gone missing, and that just can't happen, I don't think.
Just to pick up on something you said there, Matt, I think, you know, in terms of potential investors coming into the club, as you know, you just said, you know, what is there for them to buy other than the name of the club, really? Because as you said, the assets have been kind of moved across to Peter's investment company, Coulthorpe. And I think that you're probably right there. And I think that also mirrors kind of the fans' attitude at the moment, because you know that they're coming in into, you know, when they come to the game, or if they buy a season ticket, or they buy a ticket, or they buy anything from the ground, they're buying into the idea of Scunthorpe United, aren't they? They're buying into the idea that the club's going to be here next year. You know, they're going to get some kind of honesty, they're going to get some kind of you know, feeling of community, feeling of kind of, I don't know, pride, if you like, out of the club. And that's what the football club's for. You know, that's why these institutions exist up and down the country. And I think that the kind of the essential elements of a football club at the moment are being very, very slowly picked apart and taken away from the fans. And I think that is something that people are very, very concerned of. And I think, you know, as you said, you know, what have they got to buy into? You know, it's the name, because I think you're quite right. But once we lose the Football League status, as long as with the kind of ground assets and things like that, I think that the football club is very, very precariously kind of sitting above the void, isn't it, really? Because, you know, I think once we do drop into that, you know, into the conference, I genuinely think that we don't come back. And I think that it's not a we don't come back Grimsby, where we were kind of in the football wilderness in the conference for however many seasons, 4 or 5 seasons, and then eventually come back and then obviously got relegated again. But I think that, you know, we will go down, but I don't think we'll come back. I think we won't be a Grimsby, but we'll be like a Boston or a Chesterfield or a Scarborough. You know, and I think that that's what's going to happen, unfortunately. And I think that, you know, at the moment we are sort of now just moving into these basically the end times of the club late, unfortunately. And I genuinely think that's where we are. And I think that can probably account for the really weird atmosphere against Port Vale and the fact that the chairman's not turning up and the kind of, you know, evident lack of kind of leadership just across the whole board, really. Not the board, but across the board, if you like. And I think that that's where we are. And I think the silence is deafening. It's deafening at Glanford Park, and it's deafening from the chairman at the moment. And we really are sinking without a trace. And unfortunately, there's nothing we can do about it.
Just before we end, let me draw it back just to the pitch, just slightly. I agree with everything you're saying. I think we are at a point. There is an atmosphere around the place that is at a point. But to some extent, like just a tiny extent, does it come down to being result-based? Because, I mean, like you say, 2-27, we've had comments in here, a couple of them. What Langsign, there's one here, actually. It says, we seem close to wins or draws, but we just can't get there. And I think on the pitch, there is a lot of that sort of sense, isn't there? You know, most of the time, the effort is there. It's just the ability is not quite. And we talk about half chances and things like that. Think about the Port Vale game. Yeah, Beast in Manny's as well was, you know, he didn't just hit it. He sort of half waited, got it over the keeper. It was unfortunate to be cleared off the line. Really fine margins. We could have maybe had a point there. Another day you're winning at Carlisle. Is it just a case of a couple of wins, you know, in the near future? And this sort of, I guess, this sort of pressure like dissipates for a little bit.
I think it's deeper than that, to be honest. And I think we've seen it even when we was at the top of League One. What was it, 4,000 fans? You could probably say average of 4,000, maybe 4.5, depending on sort of away attendances. I know we had a couple where a bit more than that, but generally 4,000. Which, you know, the football we were kind of playing at the time under Alexander probably warranted more than that. And obviously the money that Swan threw at it at the time, you know, no one was complaining then. I think there were some people were raising concerns how long that could continue and how that spending could kind of be sustainable. But I don't think on the whole, everyone that was going to games, I think that was kind of, everyone was sort of enjoying it, and it was the least of our worries, really. I think we were watching some decent football, winning games at the top of the league. And that's kind of, yeah, yeah, it's maybe a bit of an issue. How long can we keep it up? But no one was that bothered in that moment. And I think, you know, that's, you get 4,000 when you're doing really well. From Swan's point of view, he probably looks at that thinking, well, I've thrown money at it. I've still not really got the support of the town as such, because, you know, that's not a particularly good turnout. And I know we're only a small town, but I think on the whole, over the past few years, maybe we've been a little bit fickle at times. I think that's fair to say. I think most people would agree with me with that. However, I think now we're at the stage where, you know, your diehards aren't turning up. You're sub 2,000. I don't think that's just because of the performances. I think it is to an extent. I think if we won 3 or 4 games and we're playing decent football, we might get a few through the gate, maybe extra, I don't know, 500, say. But I think the ones that we've lost that kind of make up that, even to the kind of 3,500 that we used to get as an average attendance, we still, you know, I don't know, 1,000 away from that at the moment, that's coming through the door on a Saturday. And I think they're the fans that are kind of just completely disillusioned with it all. You know, they've had enough of Swan. They don't like things that have happened off the pitch from day one, really. I think even when we were in League One doing well, there were fans that didn't like Swan and had the valid points for why and you know, decided not to go, even when we were doing fairly well. I think it's deeper. I think even if we won a few, we're not going to get those fans back. I think they're gone now while Swan is here. That's the reality. I think we've seen it the last couple of seasons. Unfortunately, the football's poor anyway. You know, it's not going to get bums on seats. I know people that sort of maybe turn up to 2 or 3 every now and again, and they're just not impressed with what they're seeing. You know, the whole experience of the match day. I mean, the football's one thing, and most people I'd be happy if we went, if you went to the game and we got a win, most people would be happy with that. But then, you know, if we lose or you don't get a decent result, and then it's all the other things at the stadium, you know.
When it's expensive as well, isn't it, really?
Yeah, it's expensive. And, you know, the catering shit, you can't get a drink at the bar, the drains are flooding and your feet are, you know, soaking wet after a match if it's raining. It's just these things. And I know it seems trivial, but it all makes, you know, the match day experience, I suppose. And I think if the football's poor, you're only going to get the diehards at the end of the day. And there's various other factors that are forcing them to stay away. My only concern, though, moving forward, is he's already kind of come out in the past and said, well, if I don't get the fans through the gate, then that's going to have an impact on revenues. And he wants to kind of, not revenue, sorry, but well, yeah, an impact on the revenues and then obviously the budget. And given that he wants to be sustainable and basically just spend the revenue on the players rather than sort of where we'll be 141% of turnover on wages, the lower the attendance goes, the more excuse he has to kind of keep chopping the budget. And then, you know, essentially it's going to be turned around and it's our fault because we're not backing the club and things like that. And I think we're in a dangerous position there as well, that yeah, people are pissed off, they're not going, but that's going to have an even bigger impact. And you're looking ahead to January. You know, we know now that we're going to have to strengthen, let's be honest. We're going to have to strengthen somewhere because otherwise, you know, it's going to be very, very difficult to stay in the division. We're already going to be under the embargo, we presume, in January. Very limited amount of funds available anyway. But I think, you know, if we go down to kind of sub 2,000 on the gate, that's another reason for the club not to spend the money and kind of blame the fans. And yeah, it's a difficult situation. I don't know what the answer is, to be honest. I honestly don't know what the answer is. I just think it's really sad state of affairs, really, and it's just depressing every time you go down there. There's just a bad feeling at the place. I think yesterday, for me, that was the first time, actually. I know the attendances have been dropping off, but there was just something about yesterday, for me, it just felt odd. And I think it's just, as I said earlier, it's going to get worse. You know, I wouldn't be surprised. Are we going to see kind of what's happening at Oldham sort of protests and things like that. I wouldn't be surprised. I know people are talking about it, whether that's the right thing to do. You don't like to see things like that, but I think it's getting to the stage where if the chairman's not around, if he's not addressing the fans, if he's not coming out and kind of telling us what the plan is, I think it's only a matter of time before, you know, the heat is on him, really. And I think that's going to be evident in the next few weeks, especially if we don't pick up points. I think it's the players are not going to be the target this time. I think in the past when they've not been trying, and you can clearly see they're not trying, and maybe at times the manager, hasn't made the right decisions. I think this time it's, you know, we've got to look past that. We've got to look past the players. They are trying. And I think the problems, we know the problems are a lot deeper than that. And I think it's kind of going to come to a head, as Matt said, really, over the coming months. And I think it's got the potential to turn quite, nasty sooner rather than later. I think the atmosphere around the place is already starting, I think, to turn a little bit. And I think over the next few weeks, I can't see it getting any better on the pitch. And I think the worse it gets on the pitch, I think it's got the potential to get a bit sort of nasty off the pitch, unfortunately.
Right. I think we'll leave it there then. So very tough October coming up. As you say, it's not going to get any easier. Thank you for listening to this. If you have indeed made it this far, it was thoroughly depressing. We'll see you on the next one.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much. But when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.